Hi, it's Diane. It is Tuesday, December 1st. I can't believe it. And I'm here with a Noon group. So far we have Margo and Anne and Carrie and Sydney. And hey, ladies, hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. Let's start with check-ins. So we'd love to have everybody check in, one celebration, or if you can't come up with a celebration, maybe a challenge you're focusing on and some steps you're taking. But would love to hear how things are going for everybody. Who wants to jump in first?
This is Margo. Celebration, I guess, would be that my son actually got his makeup work done over the break and got, according to him, got everything turned in. So we'll see in the next few weeks when the grades appear.
That's awesome. What do you think made the difference, Margo?
I don't know. I wish I could say that it was stuff that I was doing to help him learn, but as much as anything, it was probably just having the extra time.
Well, and I think part of it is, you know, how did you set that up well? How did you give him the space? How did you, you know, what did you learn from it? So, you know, it may not have been anything you did do, but it may have also been something you didn't do. You know, it may be that you didn't. Did you handle it differently than you think you might have in the past?
Probably a little bit differently. Thinking back, we had talked about, you know, what's your plan? I'll check in with you again. Those kinds of things, and I tried to use that approach more. So, you know, maybe he felt more that I was interested and supportive rather than irritated and nagging.
Yeah, and it sounds, I mean, the language you're describing sounds like you're asking how to support a challenge that's his responsibility rather than directing, which is the distinction. I mean, when the kids are the age that most of ours are, you know, they don't want us to direct what they're doing. They want to be able to be as independent as they can. And so sometimes even just subtle shifts in language can really set them up for, you know, owning it in a different way. How can I help you is very different than, okay, here's what you need to do next.
Right.
So, well, good. Congratulations. I'm sure that feels awesome.
Yeah, that's so good.
Okay, who else wants to check in?
This is Sydney. I'll go.
Thanks, Sydney. Go ahead.
The last month or so, I've really focused on parenting more positively, and I think it's made a difference, certainly in how I'm walking through my days, but also in, you know, the interactions with my kids. So that's been positive. And I've also set up some boundaries, particularly with my daughter, where if she's, you know, kind of negative or going down the rabbit hole or, you know, kind of getting into blame, I'm just setting up some boundaries and saying, you know, I'm going to walk away if you're acting like that. And that's helped her to make a choice about what she's going to do. And in general, she's choosing to shift her attitude. And when she doesn't, then I just walk away. So both have been really good.
Well, and it sounds like what you're describing is, you know, is consciously choosing to leave an environment rather than escaping, right? Because you know it's and it's kind of that sort of are you proactively choosing, you know, saying this is what I'm going to do when this happens, and then you're following through on it. And I love that. That's great.
Yeah, thanks.
Carrie Ann, who wants to go next?
I can go. We're getting new carpet right now, and so we had to like be able to basically move everything out of my daughter's room, everybody's rooms, but particularly my daughter, and we would find clothes that still had tags on them that she just kind of, when I told her to put them away, just shoved them in a closet. And I was getting very frustrated, and, you know, because she needs clothes, and then, you know, they're hiding in the closet somewhere. And she actually is like, kind of said, I feel really bad that I did that, and I'm sorry, I know that I should have put them away. She kind of acknowledged like what was so like bothering me so much. And she's like, I won't do that again. So felt like she kind of had a learning moment there.
Well, and it's nice when they become self-aware and they take responsibility. I think kind of offer you a slight shift.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reality is that she may not be able to prevent doing it again without creating some sort of mm-hmm. system or structure for herself today. And that's, you know, so that goes back to kind of the model and what we're talking about through the, you know, the last couple of weeks is what's a realistic expectation for her? You know, she's like my 14-year-old who's like totally impulsive. She gets home from, Forever 21, and the first thing she does is she texts her favorite 21 friends to let them know the thing that she bought at Forever 21, and she throws the bag wherever it happens to land, and then a week later, one of us might find the bag in the closet, but it's, you know, mm-hmm. it's a pretty typical impulsive thing for kids to do, and acknowledging that it's not working for her as well as knowing that it's not working for you is a great mm-hmm. door opener for figuring out, mm-hmm. okay, so what do you want to do about it and what's realistic? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on one second.
So, but it sounds like it feels like a celebration because she's involved in a different level and taking some ownership.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I said it sounds like it's a celebration because she's involved in a different level and taking some ownership. Is that fair?
Yes. Yeah, it is. I'm sorry. The guy's like opened the door. I was in my room like on the phone and the carpet guy's opened the door and the dogs went crazy. Wait, as you were finishing. I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. No worries. Okay. Who's last?
Anne,
thanks.
I can't think of a success, unfortunately. I did ask my son, what did you work out with your math teacher to make up that test? And he came back with, stop bugging me about it. And that's the first time I'd said anything in 3 or 4 days. So it did not go well. I tried to say it in a different way, but he didn't take it any differently. Yet, anyway.
Well, and I love that you're saying yet, and it's, sometimes it's kind of trying to find different ways to open the door. our kids have gotten really used to, you know, trying to shut us out because they, you know, they don't want to be, and I'm not saying this is you, Anne, but they don't want to be nagged at one more time. They don't want to be, you know, made wrong one more time. I mean, it's a difficult situation to be in, and, you know, and so maybe even trying it, you know, open it up and say, you know, what do you notice is different at school? And if he says, oh, leave me out of it, say, yeah, you know, I'm not trying to get on your back, but I would love to have a conversation with you about it. Why don't we talk, you know, tonight at dinner and you can tell me, you know, two things that you've noticed over the last few weeks, something like that, you know, just to kind of take the pressure off, but encourage open communication. And I think that, talking to somebody, we did an interview with someone for WebMD the other day, and was talking about you know, Saturday mornings at Waffle House. You know, it's like if you can find those moments to just connect with your kids and have conversations with your kids about sometimes it's not even valuable stuff. It just really does make a difference in terms of maintaining the connection when you do need to talk to them about more quote unquote important stuff. Does that make sense, Anne?
Yeah, it does.
Cool. But I love that you're trying to say it in a different way and stay in that place of curiosity, stay in that place of problem solving and you know that it's kind of a game and you're like, okay, one day I'll figure out how to say it so that it doesn't trigger him. And you will. you will. But a lot of our kids are with a lot of our kids, we feel like we're walking around on eggshells and it's pretty normal feeling. So, cool. All right, so I'm going to go back over kind of format. I know this is Carrie's first call, and so once we kind of check in and do a celebration, we're going to go back through and take aim on something, and we want to take aim on a challenge, not a solution, and it can be the same one you've been working on for the last couple of weeks. It can be a new one, but Carrie, can you go ahead and – or sorry, Margo, can you let us know where you want to take aim this week?
I haven't thought about that yet. I guess continuing with the homework thing, you know, it feels good that he's caught up. And so I need to take aim on helping to maintain a current level.
So help me get a little bit more specific. So
yeah.
Are you taking aim on creating an environment where he can sustain the work he's been doing? Is it about helping him? Okay. So say it in your words instead of mine.
But you said it so much better. figuring out what I need to do to create that environment that he continues to maintain it, staying up to date on his assignments.
Cool. Awesome. All right. Sydney.
Sorry, I'm pausing. Well, I know my focus area. I'm not exactly sure where to take aim. My son's in middle school. His best friend moved away, and so he's transitioning with friends. And I think at times, you know, it's difficult because he's trying to find, you know, someone who's like himself. So I guess I just want to support that with him.
So help me get specific. What challenge is it creating for him?
I think he's feeling just the sadness of not having that connection. So he talks to his friend who moved. They FaceTime and they play some games together. So at least he has that, but he doesn't have that kind of total go-to person. He's not hanging by himself, but I think he, you know, misses that connection. So just encouraging him to reach out to others and knowing that, you know, those kinds of connections don't come along all the time, but encouraging him to create new connections.
Well, and so I think that that's, I'm going to encourage you to stay with the problem. Creating the new connections feels a little bit like moving towards the solution, although it's a really logical solution.
Right.
But I think it'll keep it open for you, at least for part of this conversation, if you decide, you know, okay, I'm going to go that direction. But if you just say, I'm going to support my son in dealing with the sadness that he has from the decreased connection of his friend moving, you might look at it a little bit more broadly than if you focus in specifically on helping him make new friends. Does that make sense?
Yeah, actually it makes total sense.
Okay, cool. All right. Anne. I'm going to let Carrie go last because she's new today.
Well, I think I need to stick with what I have been doing or with the same problem, which is figuring out a time to talk to my son in a neutral way so he doesn't think it's an attack. But I'm not quite sure.
So tell me what problem are you trying? Let's get really clear on what problem you're trying to solve, because I know in my head, but I want to hear you. I want to hear your perspective on it.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm having trouble with. I don't know if it's a timing thing.
Is it about decreasing the conflict between the two of you, or is it about increasing the connection? Is it about both? Where does the root cause fit for you?
Well, we get along fine until I bring up schoolwork. So I think we have a connection. So that's not it.
So what if you took aim on finding finding ways to communicate with him more effectively around schoolwork? Does that frame it in a way that makes sense for you?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Carrie, do you have a sense of how the process of taking aim, and I'll help you to take aim like I did with everybody else. But
yeah.
Okay.
So recently, Bella started to go to what they call homework club, which is like every day but Friday after school till 4. And I think it's really helped her to have access to one of the high cap teachers and, you know, be able to kind of get a little more direction, which is something we've been struggling a lot with, like that she'll come home and she won't be able to kind of like regurgitate whatever the instructions were, knowing that an assignment's due. So that's really been very helpful to her. And I think that it helps her feel more confident. So I guess probably some of our struggles are still of like, if she doesn't get everything done, or like, you know, she's still forgetting something, she's not doing well, like she's got, you know, a couple of bad grades on some tests and things. So I guess just trying to, you know, figure out the next step to help her to continue to have that productive time after homework club and preparing for tests. I'm not sure.
So I'm hearing a couple of things in there. One is some potential for maybe helping her to be more efficient during homework club, or is mm-hmm. it identifying when work needs to be done that's not done in homework club, or is it preparing for tests, or, you know, there's several kind of ways to look at that. Carrie, is there
right.
one particular way that feels like a better lens to focus on?
They all sound like good ones. I guess my concern right now is, like, she tends to do pretty crappy on the tests. Like, if she's remembering to do the assignments and turn them in, she tends to do pretty well. So I guess probably more focusing on test preparation.
Okay. So it's, okay, test preparation. Okay, great. All right, everybody has something to take aim on? Doesn't look like anybody joined us. So today we're gonna talk about systems and structures. And, you know, it's funny because when parents come to us first off, this is what they think they want. They want all the systems, they want all the structures, tell me what to do, and this is what's gonna, you know, be the magic wand for my entire life. And I think we teach this fourth of the critical response areas because it is really easy to just kind of jump in and go there first. And if you do it outside of the context of some of the other stuff that we teach before we teach systems and structures, for most of us, the systems and structures are much less effective. For many of us, they just kind of crash and burn. And so, you know, there are literally thousands and millions of systems and structures, from checklists and binders and calendars and mnemonics and all of those kinds of things. And they are very helpful, but if we don't think about activating the brain and we don't, you know, get really clear on our intention with our relationship and parenting positively, and if we don't have realistic expectations for ourselves or our kids, that we really do often miss the point. And I know that I still remember, I think Jeremy and Elaine and I all have these stories of kind of the first system we put in place when we found out our kid was ADHD, and we read some book and they said, okay, you need to have structures. And, you know, we all came up with these elaborate point systems. Jeremy was talking about her husband, he's a lawyer, he put this in this big Excel spreadsheet, and Elaine had like this big chart with, you know, 70 different lines in it. And I, you know, I've got the family house rules with like 30 some rules on it. And you know, what happens is we do this and we get the systems and it gets confusing, it gets overwhelming. And so it's really important to kind of roll back, which is why we do this fourth, and say, you know, what is realistic? What does the brain need? And how do we do this in the context of the relationship that we want to have with our kids, which is really what parenting positively is about. And so that's my precursor. But the good news is today we are going to talk about systems and structures and why they're important. And they're important for a couple of reasons. They're important because a lot of times kids with ADHD have a difficult time with working memory. And so a lot of the systems and structures are really specifically designed to support gaps in working memory. A lot of times, you know, so for example, you know, how many times have your kids gone upstairs to get their backpack and their shoes, and they all of a sudden they come downstairs 20 minutes later with their iPod trying to show you something that they found on YouTube, right? So they don't, you know, if they know that they're supposed to do X, Y, and Z, a lot of times the working memory doesn't kick in. You know, a lot of times our kids have a difficult time with time management. They don't see time pass in their brain, and so the idea of how long does something take, you know, they have a difficult time estimating, oh, yeah, I can get this big, giant project for AP Psychology done in an hour and a half, even though he's giving me 4 weeks to do it. He doesn't know how long it takes. It really only takes an hour and a half, right? And so, or our kids have a difficult time with activation and getting started in something, and a lot of times systems and structures like an alarm is something that would help you to get activated. Time management might be a time timer is an example of a structure that you would use, or routine check-ins to say, okay, how am I doing? Where am I at? Or dividing a project up into smaller pieces would be something to help with time management. But so with our kids, you know, we've been talking a lot on and off about executive function. As you put a system and structure in place, it's important to kind of go, well, what is my child's executive function challenge that I'm trying to scaffold? Is it that they have a hard time with time management? Is it that they have a hard time staying focused? Is it that they have a hard time activating? Is it that they have a hard time managing their emotions? I mean, you could put in a structure for any one of those, but you want to get really crystal clear that if your child has a working memory deficit and is constantly, or you, let me use this. I've got a friend who uses this. He's not ADHD at all. But he has, I don't know whether he's always challenging his working memory. I think it comes from not being a morning person. But he gets to his door in the morning and he says, phone, keys, coat, go. And he says it to himself every single day exactly the same way. And it's his way of making sure he has his phone, he has his keys, and he has his coat. You know, and so I think that that's a great example of a mnemonic, which is a system and structure that can help. So, again, you know, knowing and understanding your child's executive function is important. But when you put a system and structure in place, it's really important to kind of have three things, right? Number one is you want to get buy-in. And especially with our group, because we've got, you know, older kids, if they think it's something that mom's making them do or dad's making them do, or that, you know, even the school is saying is a rule, it's going to be more difficult to really say, okay, let's put together a structure that's going to work for your brain. What do you think might work? The second thing is you want to keep it simple. You know, like I said, that it's really easy to get, you know, these elaborate time-sucking rewards charts or to search for the perfect rewards app or an alarm for the iPhone. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do that just really over-exaggerate what needs to be done. I mean, sometimes it's just the simplest things that make the difference. You need to make it flexible, because the reality is that with our kids, they love to have things that are new and intriguing. And so even the best system and structure with a lot of buy-in is probably going to get boring after a while. And so they may want, you know, they may start to see past it and need something new. And so we've got to be continuing to pay attention in terms of when we need to be flexible. And then the last thing is that, you know, I want to encourage you all to focus on the process and not the outcome, at least to start. Because, yes, we're putting the system and structure in place so that they can begin to accomplish something. But a lot of times just adhering to the system or adhering to the structure and remembering to set your alarm every day, even if the alarm doesn't wake you up, is something to celebrate. Good job, you set your alarm. Sorry it didn't wake you up. What can we do next? You know, but it's, you know, you don't want to focus on, wow, it didn't work. You want to focus on, well, you tried it, and you, what did you learn from it? It's a great opportunity to teach our kids to fail forward. And then, you know, so let me just kind of pause there and see what your thoughts are about systems and structures.
I agree completely. I feel a lot of the time, like my husband's a huge, like, we have to have a system for this. And I just feel like it gets in the way. We, like, so focused on the stupid system that, like, we lose sight of the ultimate goal. The idea of having her buy into whatever like we just kind of discussed about how she's not allowed to have the iPod in her room anymore at night because she's so tempted. And she came up with that on her own. So I think like stuff like that resonates. And the whole like your alarm not waking you up, like that just happened. It happens, seems to happen every freaking day. So it's just kind of like, I don't know, really resonating with me that this is not just my kid.
Yeah, no, actually this morning, that's my new thing. I always make my son set his alarm later than mine is set for. Because he'll say, I'm going to set my alarm for 5:45. And I'm like, nope, don't, please. Because I'm the first one that wakes up from your alarm, and I don't want to wake up till 6. So I can either listen to your alarm go off for 15 minutes before mine does. Or, and usually when I, you know, I get up, and then I come in, and I say, your alarm's going off. And so it's, you know, it's because it's not triggering for him. But yes, you're in good company, Carrie.
Okay.
Yeah, it happens here too.
So, other thoughts?
I'm trying to figure out how Matthew will recognize that he needs systems.
Hmm. So where is he using systems successfully?
Well, I guess, you know, he does pretty well in having his stuff together. I think only once he's forgotten his backpack on the way to school.
Because I think a lot of times what can happen is if he's got a challenge that he wants to solve, you know, so say he's forgetting something, but he's able to remember everything that goes in his backpack every morning. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, so, you know, it becomes a conversation, which is like, what is it that makes it easy to remember your backpack, but hard to remember this other thing? Because you're really good at remembering your backpack every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Then he begins to think about how he might, because he may be using a system for it. Well, he may say, I always put my backpack is always by the back door and I see it, so I never forget it. Or I always think about lunch because I'm hungry for breakfast, and so I'm wondering where my lunchbox is. You know, it's something like that, that there's probably something he's using. And a lot of times it's just helping them to become more transparent about where they are already using visual cues or reminders or something that is technically a system but maybe not as explicit a system. How does that resonate for you?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. So, Margo, how would you approach it with him if you were going to begin to have the conversation?
I think a lot like what you were just saying about the backpack, you know, okay, you've done really well always having that ready and remembering to grab it on the way out, and his keys, too. He always is able to do that. So how is it that, you know, how is the right word? But I guess... if I were going to take aim on something in this context, as far as remembering things in the morning, I would say brushing teeth. Mm-hmm. So I guess for me, figuring out how to phrase it, that you're doing this really well, what can we incorporate to get brushing teeth into part of that?
So can I offer a slight rephrase?
Please.
So you, the word that stood out for me more than anything else was you said we. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
So he's at the stage, I think, where brushing his teeth should be his problem.
And it should be.
And I guess the question is it still his problem or is it yours?
Well, I take it on because when I don't, he doesn't do it. He will go days without brushing his teeth.
Okay. So I'm going to ask this very facetiously. So what?
Yes. His teeth will fall out. I told him last time he got two cavities filled, but the next time he has to pay for the fillings.
And did that motivate him?
Well, so far he hasn't had more cavities, but he hasn't brushed anymore either.
Right.
So he doesn't see
Right, and so he doesn't see that connection, and I think that that's part of the challenge. And I think that, you know, I don't know if I've said this on this call before, but my son did not start brushing his teeth until he started being interested in girls. And
mm-hmm.
his sister said, "Dude, you got to brush your teeth. You smell like stank," or something. I don't remember what she said to him. But he's like, "Oh my gosh, you know, girls would notice how I smell." And then he suddenly got a different level of buy-in. Or when the orthodontist shamed him, quote unquote, you know, in one of the appointments, and basically told him that, you know, he had to change his behavior, and that she would, if he didn't do something different by the time they met again, that some, I don't remember how she handled it, but there was something there. But so I think that the first thing you're testing is, does he see it as a problem? And if he doesn't, then how do you create a motivation for him if it's not a problem?
Right.
And so that's the piece of it, is that you've got to then insert the motivation, because without the motivation, the structure is not going to work, unless the structure is motivating. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it could be a reward. I mean, it could be that you pay him a dollar every time he brushes his teeth. It could be that, and you probably, everybody's already tried this, I'm sure, but, you know, it could be that, you know, that there's some other, so, you know, if he brushes his teeth without reminding, that he gets to go to Dunkin' Donuts on the way to school. I mean, I'm making this up completely, but
right.
you're trying to create some kind of external motivation until he begins to have the internal motivation. And that's the scaffolding. So it's not that it's your problem. It's your problem to help him to be motivated,
okay.
help him figure out how to be motivated. Does that make sense? Is a subtle difference?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Help create scaffolding motivation. Okay.
All right, thoughts from anybody else, either about teeth brushing, which I'm sure is a problem for everybody, or anything else in terms of the systems and structures?
Mm-mm. Sorry, I was talking on mute. One thing that resonated for me was that he gets bored with it after a while, like tooth brushing. He'll go to the dentist, and the hygienist will scrape and scrape, and he'll bleed, and he doesn't want that. So for about a month, he'll be very conscientious about brushing his teeth. But then he does, you know, it sloughs off and becomes not a priority anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's getting bored with it, but that's the part
well,
that hit me.
It's called deteriorating motivation, right? And so we know that the ADHD brain, the distance between cause and effect in the ADHD brain must be much closer. And so, because they've got this now, not now mindset. And so for a while after the dentist appointment, it feels like now, because it's like, oh my gosh, it just happened. I'm going to remember that it happened. And then we begin to, you know, we have a recency effect where we begin to forget about it. And so again, it's that same sort of thing, is what's his motivation, or what's his structure? And I think that that's the piece of it, is that for most of us, if we are motivated to do something, either because we know it's the right thing, or it's connected to a value, or it's really important to us, what we need is some kind of trigger, like a visual cue or something like that, you know. So it's kind of like if I've got a client who wanted to start walking every day, and so she started putting her shoes right outside the bathroom in the morning, so that the first thing she did, she'd get dressed and she put on her sneakers, which would be a reminder to go for a walk. So she already had the motivation to do it, and that was the structure that she used, which was a visual cue. So there's two pieces of it, is you've got to have the motivation and you have the visual cue, or the structure. And so I think that that's it's important to kind of realize that, again, sometimes if our kids are not motivated, we've got to figure out how to help them to come up with some sort of motivation.
Yeah.
And honestly, go ahead, Ann.
Maybe we need to take a picture of him at the dentist's office next time. have it blown up in big size with the tears and the blood and all that. But, you know, just bring that out after a month or something. I don't know.
Well, and I guess the question is, remind me of how old your son is, Anne?
17.
So I would challenge you to have that conversation with him.
Yeah.
And say, you know, I've noticed that every time you go to the dentist, you realize that you don't want this to happen again. And then over time, you tend to forget and you begin to fall out of the habit of brushing your teeth. What do you think you could do, or what would motivate you to remember to brush your teeth in those months, you know, after the memory wears off for you?
Right.
And involve him in the conversation and see what he comes up with.
Right.
Because he may
yeah.
go, yeah, I want to take a picture of me, or he may go, oh, I just need to, you know, who knows what it'll be.
Right.
And that's the thing, is that there's no lack of ideas for structures and systems. I mean, there are as many structures and systems as there are, you know, moments in the day. And with the kids that are our age, the most important thing is buy-in. And they're at an age where they can begin to come up with it themselves. Now, explaining to them the value in it, and I do this with my kids, it's kind of like I'll say, wow, it looks like you're having a hard time because you don't have a motivation. What do you want to do about it? You know, so that they realize that the reason they're slugging through something is because they are not motivated. So do they want to create a reward for themselves? Do they want me to enforce a consequence? What is it that's going to help them to get motivated? So I'm curious, do you guys have some systems and structure successes that you would say, oh, I've tried this before and it worked really well? Or systems and structures failures that you kind of want to troubleshoot? I'm happy to kind of go either direction with the conversation.
This is Sydney. I've had some system successes. I mean, obviously, as little kids, kind of doing things the same way, so it got imprinted on their brains, you know, that you need to brush your hair, your teeth. You know, we're in Arizona, put on sunscreen. Just the same kind of routines every morning. But it came into play when my son was in fifth grade. I kind of let him go on his homework to kind of manage himself because he's a super strong personality. He didn't want me involved. And so he fell on his face a lot, you know, not getting stuff turned in, not putting it in his backpack. He always did it, but it had a hard time making it to the teacher. And every time it would happen, I would ask him, you know, what do you think we could do differently? And finally, after 3 quarters, I suggested that we just put a checklist in place, which, of course, he hated and was furious about. I mean, like, he totally didn't want to do it. And they said, oh, it's taking so much time. And he was younger, so, you know, I could kind of say, look, we've tried for 3 quarters. Let's just give this a try. And so after a few weeks, obviously, it took him, like, no time at all to get it done. And he ended up that quarter basically not having any missing assignments. And so he admitted, okay, yeah, it did help. And as we started sixth grade, we put it in place again. And pretty quickly we let it go. But what I found is that the same, you know, that the steps had been imprinted in his brain. So because he went through the same steps so many times, they became internalized. And for whatever reason, for him, that helped him not, you know, he pretty much manages his homework and manages getting things to school. And you know, when he does have a hiccup, we talk about what could he do differently. But for him, having some structure for a period of time helps him internalize it.
Awesome. And so what is your role become in that, Sydney?
My role is just to talk to him at this point. You mean now?
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's just when there is a hiccup, then I will ask him, you know, what happened and what does he think he needs to do differently to avoid it in the future. So letting him come up with his own approach. But there was a time where I did have to put myself into the equation because, you know, he had gone through 3 quarters falling on his face. And so I finally said, look, I think we need a system in place. And but having that system for a period of time helped him kind of internalize.
No, that makes sense. I think the other thing we were talking earlier about, you know, helping them to learn from what works, you know, and so it's kind of like if he's got certain aspects where it is working, again, it's like how can you borrow from what you're doing over here to apply to this new challenge that you're facing?
Right. And for him, I would say, I mean, he's a really, really strong personality. And so for him to be involved in the process, and particularly, and it's, you know, I could dial back and say, look, I'm not attacking you. It's okay. You know, we all fall on our face. So now that you're not feeling attacked, what do you think you could do differently? Like, what happened this time is different from the other time.
Right. Cool. Other systems, successes, or challenges?
This is Margo again. One thing that I do for myself is that I use the alarm on my phone, and depending on what day it is, you know, set it at various intervals just to bring me back to task.
And thanks for saying that, because a lot of times for us as parents, the systems and structures are for us to help us to help the kids with the systems and structures. I mean, I know that all last year I had an appointment on my calendar at 4:00 on Tuesday to remind my son when he got home that it was Tuesday, and Tuesday is the day he's supposed to go in the online system, because his phone alarm wasn't working for him. So I was scaffolding by being his reminder on Tuesdays. It was still his job to do it, but I was the reminder system. So I needed a reminder to remind me to remind him.
Yeah, we have that going on here too. On Wednesdays, he's supposed to go to see support lab teacher because he's itinerant now instead of in a classroom. And he finally just looked at me and said, would you just send me a reminder? Because he's got it on his calendar, that's not working, and his alarm goes off at midnight, which does no good at 11 a.m. or whatever, you know. So I'm happy to do that since he asked me to. I didn't suggest it, so that's working well.
That's fabulous, you know, and I think that that's the thing. It's about, isn't it different when it feels like something, it's like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I have to do that, versus he asked me to and I'm happy to, you know, and it's just sometimes
right.
It's just that difference in the way we see our roles. I mean, we always want to continue to challenge our kids to become more and more independent. You know, I don't know that I really want to be texting my son to remind him that he has a meeting with his boss. hopefully by then he can figure out to get a system that works for him. But again, it's kind of like every time, you know, I personally use the time frames of the semesters as a way to kind of look at the scaffolding and go, do we need to adjust this? Do we either need to adjust the scaffolding up? Do we need to adjust the scaffolding down? What's working, what's not? And it's kind of a great opportunity to kind of at least twice a year go, how am I supporting and is it working for everybody?
And we also do the morning thing. We do keys. Let's see, there are three things. Keys, wallet, and phone have to be in pockets. And most boys now pat their pockets to make sure they've got all those three things. Of course, they can't get too far without the key, but wallet and phone can be forgotten sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I hadn't thought about it, but I know there was a period of time where, you know, parents who were, like, having to go back and remember stuff for their kids and bring them to school a lot. I'm going to knock on wood, but I feel like I've kind of passed that. My kids are really have systems in place for themselves to make sure that they remember everything every day that they need. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It teaches you that eventually they can get there. It may not happen at the time you want it to, but eventually they get there. So other thoughts generally, or if we've got time here. If somebody wants to do a little bit of laser coaching and around a particular issue, I'm happy to do that too.
Can you say a little bit about tailoring the system or structure to the variety of the six areas of executive function?
Oh, sure. Sure. So tell me one area of executive function that you know is really challenging for your child.
I'm going to choose focus. He gets easily bored, but he also hyperfocuses. And he sees a lot of things as not important. You know, just routine things like brushing your teeth. Or, you know, his chores around the house, whatever, those kinds of things. It's boring, it doesn't make any difference, that kind of thing.
If the ADHD brain is not genuinely interested in something, it literally cannot do it. You know, it's like
right.
Walking through Jell-O. So the question becomes, is there a system that could be put in place that would make it motivating, or does the motivation need to be in place before you can make the system and structure work? So which feels like more appropriate for you in this instance?
I don't know. Probably motivation again.
Okay. Great.
Because,
so,
you know, we could put whatever system in place and he agrees to it. I mean, we have, you know, had these discussions and he'll agree and he'll choose, well, Saturday's my day that I'm going to do such and such and such. And it doesn't happen.
Well, so I got to ask here, what's a realistic expectation for his level of executive function?
I don't know how to answer that.
So you said doing chores, for example. So is it realistic that he can remember to do his chores without some kind of external something?
No.
Okay. Is he motivated to do his chores if he is reminded that he wants to do it?
The moderator has left the conference.
It hung me up. I'm really sorry. All of a sudden, I disappeared. Did you answer the question already?
He has trouble, even with reminders.
Even with reminders. And so is he I'm sorry. So is he motivated?
Apparently not adequately enough.
Well, okay. So what is his motivation for doing his chores?
To be honest, I don't think there is any.
Well, and here's the challenge. It's like we want our kids, I'm not speaking for you, Margo, but it's like most of us, it's like we want our kids to know that doing chores is part of being in the community of a household, or that everybody should do them, and it's part of being a good citizen in your home, right? We want our kids
right.
We all want our kids to feel that way, right?
Yeah,
and,
right.
And at some point they will develop that. And we'll have to say it a lot of times to them before they do develop that, unfortunately. So, you know, the question becomes, when they're little, doing their chores, they get a thank you so much, good job, go put your little star on the chart, right? And that's their motivation. And then they reach this age, and it's like they're not internally motivated. They're not externally motivated. We don't want to pay them to do our chores. Some people pay their kids to do their chores. And there's nothing wrong with that. But some of us don't want to pay our kids to do our chores because there's, you know, it's something they're supposed to do, and that's just not the way that it works. So, you know, the question becomes, what do you put in place for a motivation? And so I think that that's my challenge to you, Margo, is to figure out, how do you motivate?
So
give me three things you could try.
Well, the first thing I think of is if he does it, you know, like every Saturday of the month, then after the last Saturday, we'll go to a movie together. Is that motivation or is that reward?
Well, it doesn't matter. Rewards can be motivation. I think absolutely can be a motivation. I think that the question is, you know, is it recent enough? So, does the cause and effect thing work enough for him that it's going to trigger for him? Is it motivating? Is it realistic that he can do it? And then the second thing is, if it is motivating for him, is it realistic that he can do it? Or does he need a system and structure in place to make sure it happens? And that's where the system and structure comes in place, is once you understand that you have a motivation, you can say, okay. And sometimes motivations are part of the system and structure, which is what you're doing here. But sometimes once you've got a motivation, it's, okay, I'm motivated, but I'm never going to remember because my brain doesn't work that way. So I need an alarm on my phone at 9:00 on Saturday morning that says, Diane, don't forget to clean the bathroom or whatever it is,
right.
which is my structure. So what's another thing you could do, Margo?
Well, I guess, ask him what would make worth it for him. Like your Waffle House thing, you know, come up with something like that. And you know, computer games are his motivation for anything and everything, but I guess I hate to reinforce that.
Tell me a little bit more about why.
Because he has too much time doing that already.
So one of the tools that I have clients do is instead of adding on, they withhold. Mm-hmm. So in this instance, it would be no Xbox until chores are done on Saturday. And then the Xbox becomes the motivation for the chores to be done. And you're not giving him more of it. Does that make sense?
Right.
So sometimes you withhold something that they get already as a way to shift the energy around creating motivation.
And we've tried that some already. part of it, the system falls apart as parents. You know, we either don't reinforce it or we're not around, and so he gets to have more flexibility than we would initially have chosen.
No, that makes perfect sense. And so, again, that gets back to rule number one, that you've got to make sure that this works for you and set it up in a way that you can execute it. So.
The other part is that, like with homework stuff, we've said, okay, you know, you don't get to have any computer games tonight because you didn't follow through on whatever. So he copes with it for the day. He's not happy, but we haven't seen it become the motivator.
Well, so what I'm hearing you describe is the taking away the Xbox isn't changing the behavior.
Not consistently.
Yeah. So that's really something different, which is, you know, what you're saying is that the negative motivation isn't changing the behavior. And so that's pretty common, which is, you know, we put a consequence in place, but it doesn't change the behavior. Well, that's because the behavior may not be a realistic expectation at this point without some additional scaffolding or support. Or education. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's different than using it as a reward, which may or may not be. But again, you've got to treat it as a game. And I'm going to roll back to the whole group now. But you know, this is something that we've got to play with, because every kid's different, every situation's different, every day is different, and it's really about figuring out how to be flexible and how to build this in. So, Margo, does that give you enough to kind of play with it a little bit?
Yeah, I have some good thinking to do.
Okay, cool. All right, so I'm going to go back to the whole group, and we're going to ask our wrap-up questions. I didn't even take you guys to the workbook to see what page we were on, but can somebody tell me what page of the workbook we're on today?
24.
24, thank you. Okay, so at the end of each call, we ask the four questions. So we're going to, like, jot down some notes, and then I would love to hear from you guys. So what did I focus on? What did I pay most attention to? What became clear, or you know, what was an aha I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And what do I need to do to set myself up for success? So take a minute, jot down some notes, and I would love to hear at least an aha and a commitment for action from everybody.
Unfortunately, I have to go for another meeting.
Okay.
So
you
want to
send me an email with? You want to send me an email with your commitment?
Okay.
Okay.
Diane,
have a good day.
All right. Bye.
Who wants to check out first?
I wouldn't mind checking out first, just because I have someone who's supposed to come to the house for an appointment at 10.
Okay.
As far as, like, an aha, I guess it resonated to me a lot that, you know, they have to have a buy-in, like, to whatever kind of solution you're going to try and come up with. It has to really come from them, from the kid. And so that was an aha to me. And I guess I just want to take aim with her, like we talked about, of, you know, trying to help her think through test preparation. Because I feel like we just struggle with the day-to-day, what to do the next day kind of thing, that, you know, we aren't planning for the, okay, you have a test coming up, and let's prep for that.
Cool. So how does that feel in terms of concrete action for you?
I guess probably the first step is just to have a conversation with her about, you know, what is going to motivate her to follow through with studying. So I got to go. I'm sorry. I will
That's all right.
I'll follow up and send
okay.
you some more info.
We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Okay,
thanks.
Great. Thanks,
Thank you.
Sir.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Who's next?
This is Sydney. I'll go.
Go for it.
For me, focusing on the problem and not just jumping to the solution. So, like with my son, just understanding that he is where he is and supporting him in that, as opposed to trying to solve the problem, which probably isn't really solvable. So just being there for him and asking him, you know, what he thinks he needs to do. Just involving him more in that process. Good. Really good.
Good. Cool. And what do you need to do to set yourself up for success?
Just stay mindful.
Okay. Cool. All right. Who's left? Somebody's left. I can lost track. Who's left?
Margo.
Okay.
For me, it was motivation. Everything I brought up, you drilled down to motivation.
Hmm.
And as I'm thinking through these questions, I'm realizing that's a core thing for me in my life, too. So I guess, you know, the sooner I figure out my own, it'll be easier to help them.
Awesome. And action?
Brainstorm between the motivation and what is realistic for him at this point. I thought that what we were expecting was realistic, but I'll reconsider that in terms of the motivation.
Cool. Awesome. All right, great call, ladies. Nice connecting with you. We are on again in 2 weeks, so the week of the 14th, and we will talk to you then.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
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 The moderator has left the conference.
Thank you.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.